Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, 26th chapter, first verses 17 through 19, and then verses 26 through 30. We've been reading through the Gospel of Matthew since last Advent. You know, lectionary year A, we read through Matthew. 2 weeks from today, we start lectionary year B, and we'll read through Mark over the course of the next year, and then year C, we'll be reading through Luke. Poor John just kind of gets sprinkled throughout, but so hear these words from Matthew's gospel. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. Nothing we can do about it. It is here. And that means that November is over. Can you believe that? It's almost over. We're almost to December. I know. It's true. Okay, let me ask you this. Thursday is Thanksgiving. What are you going to eat this year? What are you going to eat this year as opposed to last year? Same old thing? You eat the same thing you ate last year? Yeah, probably. Probably. Okay. I read an article in the last couple days about Thanksgiving foods. Okay, and what it said, it named the top 10 foods for Thanksgiving, and it broke up a few by region. Do you know, okay, basically turkey, pretty standard. Okay, maybe dressing and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes. Just bracket those off. The number one side dish in the South, besides those dishes, is, hold it, don't say it, think about that. What is the number one side dish in the South? Okay, let's jump to New England. Anybody here from New England? Cricket. Number one, according to this article, the number one side dish in New England for Thanksgiving is Parker House Rolls. That is not a side dish, folks. Okay, how about this? Any Midwesterners here? What is going on? Those crazy Midwest, you're not admitting it. But anyway, those of you from the Midwest, what is the number one side dish in the Midwest? Thanksgiving. Wrong. It is wrong. Green bean casserole. Okay, back to the South. It's not like everybody here must be from Wake County. Okay, number one side dish in the South is wrong. Bacon infused Brussels sprouts. Who wrote this article? I think it was somebody from Canada. Bob? Yeah, I don't know, but that's what it said. I've never even heard of such a thing. We got big decisions to make by Thursday, folks. What are we going to eat? How are we going to celebrate this day of Thanksgiving? And if you're like I am and you're thinking about Thanksgiving, you immediately think back. So I want you to think back right now to the earliest Thanksgiving that you can remember. Hopefully it was in your childhood. Back then, when you take a little snapshot of that, what is in that picture? Turkey. Waiting your turn. Somebody said the kids' table at the middle service. Yeah, that hurts. I picture a table. I just picture this bountiful table. And at our house, I always picture the best china. You know, this fancy China. And the whole rest of the year, the China is behind glass. You know, you just look at it, you can't touch it. But on that day, it was on the table. Crystal. The crystal was out. Very fine crystal, but you didn't touch it any other time. But on Thanksgiving, you used it. And I can't remember if the silverware was special, but it wasn't plastic, okay? It was something special. And we'd be summoned to the table, and I can picture, you remember the seating chart besides the kids' table? I can picture at our table, my dad at the end of the table. Maybe my grandfather maybe at the other end. My mom off to the right. My sister's across the table from my brother and me. And before we did anything else, we got on the table. What did we do? We joined hands and we said a prayer. But we didn't say it. Dad would say it. And I said this in the early services, that prayer was different from other prayers, it seemed. It may have even been the same words, but I don't know. But it didn't seem the same. Somehow, in those words, the prior year was gathered up in the blessing. Almost like, you know, sanctioning that year. We've had a good year. This is where we are right now. And something happened. Time kind of gave way at that moment, and it became this, it was not ordinary time, it was sacred time. It's marvelous. Do you remember that? It was Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving, and that was different. Okay. The Greek verb, eucharisteo, means to give thanks. It occurs 8 times. The verb is used 8 times by the gospel writers. 8 times. 2 in Matthew, 2 in Mark, 2 in Luke, 2 in John. Very equitable distribution there. Eucharisteo, to give thanks. Okay. Interesting to note that in the Gospels, that verb is only used to give to talk about giving thanks for very specific items. 3 gifts from the earth: bread, fish, and wine. Only time that verb is used. And it's only used to describe 2 events. The first is the feeding of the multitude. Do you know that story? The mass is gathered. Jesus, you know, feeds them. It's also used when? The Last Supper. We also call communion. We also call what? The Eucharist. The Thanksgiving. Okay. Let me remind you this. Feeding of the multitude. Then ordering the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." At the early service this morning, we celebrated the Eucharist, as we do each week at that service. And in preparation for that, we have a responsive reading, a responsive prayer. And it begins this way: "The Lord be with you, and also with you." The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, for you are the creator and sustainer of our lives. And then we recount the tradition. We rehearse it. We retell it. We remember, like remember, reconnect. It reconnects us to the tradition. And then after we conclude that, loving and gracious God, in remembrance of these your grace-filled acts, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. It's beautiful. It's called the prayer is called the Great Thanksgiving. It's a prayer that dates back to the 2nd century to St. Apollitus. It's been used by Christians across this world in some form for almost 2,000 years. It gathers us up. Before we celebrate our constitutive event, communion, we pray this prayer. And this is significant because it reminds us, I think, that at our very core, we are people of thanksgiving. That's what we do. It courses through our community's life. When we gather, we center our lives around Thanksgiving, whether it's in our hymns or our prayers or our affirmations of faith. It permeates a scripture. Psalm 100. Bill read it a moment ago. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God. It's not just something we do. It's who we are. It's a response to grace. It's a response to a gift. It's a recognition that we are contingent. Contingent being. It's an acknowledgement that we are dependent creatures. We don't like that. It's an awareness. When you give thanks, it's an awareness of something. An awareness of the fact that we are recipients of God's grace. It's not a thanksgiving offered on the basis of abundance. It's a thanksgiving offered on the basis of being. We are, therefore we give thanks. Across the years, I've said it time and time again. I believe it more each and every day. And I believe that miracles happen around the table. When you share food with other people, something happens. Whether it is around the Eucharist table, whether it's at your breakfast table, whether it's at your neighbor's table, wherever it is, something happens when you break bread together. It goes beyond words. Sometimes it can be a raucous sort of gathering. It can be a very quiet, more existential experience. But somehow when we share food, we share our lives. And something sacred happens. That's why you don't tend just to say, I'm just going to pick somebody random to eat with. A lot of times you choose those with whom you eat. Because something amazing is going to happen. I've seen it happen here at Pleasant Grove when we're at the Eucharistic table. I've seen it with barbecues, men's breakfast. I saw it yesterday. If you're here for the workday, there were donuts out front. And I'm not kidding. When people take donuts and they break them and they give them, there's smiles, there's laughter, there's life and joy. When I was a kid, when you were going to break something like that, one person broke it and the other person got to choose which one they took. So it was very calculated. But not yesterday. People were just breaking and saying, here, have a donut. It was mystical. It was mystical. E.P. Sanders, a professor of mine at Duke years ago, New Testament professor, always said that what got Jesus into trouble time and time again was not what he said and the way he interpreted law. What got him into trouble were the folks that came to his table. He opened his table to anybody and everybody. And that ticked people off. That ticked people off. It got him into trouble. Made him very uncomfortable. You receive grace, then you dispense grace. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. It begins with thanksgiving, folks. And if you read that, you see that an encounter with God is predicated on a spirit of profound humility and thanksgiving. That's where you enter God's presence, implying that you can't enter God's presence unless you're giving thanks. That's interesting. So on Thursday, we're going to dedicate a whole day to Thanksgiving. A whole day. What are you going to do? How are you going to do that? How are you going to spend that day of Thanksgiving? Well, you need to spend it remembering who you are. Let me put it this way. Thanksgiving is not first and foremost material in nature. It's not about taking an inventory of all that stuff you've got and then giving thanks to God for that. I got this. Thank you for this. That's confession, folks. No, Thanksgiving is just stopping and realizing that it's about a lot more than food. Sure, food's a material focus at our house, but it's about the act. It's about the relationships that are formed. So, on this Thursday, what I want you to do, I don't want you to run through a litany of items that you feel that God needs to be made aware of. That's not it. No. You look at every face around that table. Just look at it. Just look at them. And then think about the folks who are not at that table with you that have gone on to other things. Think of the people that were at the table last year are no longer at the table. Maybe you need to send some text messages. Maybe you need to send some emails. Maybe you need to make some calls. Maybe you just need to sit and let God's grace be poured into your soul again. And if you do that, I guarantee it'll be Thanksgiving. If you stop from your hectic lives and just say thank you. Say thank you as you enjoy your bacon-infused Brussels sprouts. You Southerners. Thanks be to God. Amen.